Thank God. Thank you so much, all my friends and family, for praying for me all the time. Because I always say that your prayers keep me alive to be able to serve the Lord. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you. Thanks for the help that you not only given me, but given to my wife. We have some messages. I wanted to preach a message, and then I said no. I started another message. And inside another message, when I was close to finish it, another one came in. And you see, that's an envelope somebody gave me. I don't even open it. And I said, no, I mean, this is another message. You just give me that. And the envelope, just before I get it. So, I'm afraid to open it because I might lose some letters. So, but it's on the envelope. So, I thank God for it. Concerning the French version, Pastor Beach was talking about, it's an amazing thing. When God puts something in your heart, you have to do it. You have to do it. I mean, you can run from it. You can try to fight on your way out, but you have to do it. And it will bring you joy. And it will bring glory to God. For 3 years, when I started this French version, that was when I was up here in America. And for 3 years, I was dragging my feet. And then I said, man, I wish somebody else could do this. I just don't want to do this. First, I'm not qualified for this. And, you know, dragging my feet, I said, man, somebody else got to do this. And when I was talking to a missionary, Missionary Hines, he's in Canada. And the Bible that I use is a French Martin version, and that's what he used. He says, brother, that's the best one. The reason that he says that was the best one, me, I went also to PBI, and I asked, you know, the guys, I mean, I need a French Bible that, you know, that we can compare to the King James. You guys know one. They gave me the version Martin. And I thought, you know, I said, yeah, finally I got, you know, that's King James. But when I started reading it, when I went back to PBI over there, and I said to the guys, this is not King James. And I said, this is bad. They said, oh, no, we told you that was somewhat closer, not you know, the King James. And I said, this is bad. But that's what we've been using. And in 2005, I started again. And after 4 years, I lost everything. And I lost the work. And, man, I put my hands on my head and I said, what am I going to do now? So I've been working for so many years and dragging my feet for 3 years and really get serious for 4 years. And I lost everything. And I said, you know what? I got to start again. I started again. And we had a group come from Ohio, Pastor Sal's church. And when they came, I was out. I was not even there when they were right there in my office. And when I came back, Pastor Marshall said, brother, I downloaded something in your computer. And, you know, I said, what is it? He says, oh, that's a version. I found something that says King James, a French version. I just downloaded it. I said, I don't need that. He says, I know you might not need it, but, you know, take a look anyway. And then after a couple months, and I just started reading that thing, and lightly, and I said, this is not bad at all. And tried to compare it, and I said, this is not bad at all. And then I just look at the name of the author, that was a woman. I said, Nadine. I said, that's not bad. She's better than all the other men put together, the other Bibles. And I said, this is good. And I said, you know what? But she messed up right there. This doctrine is not good. And our Bible, for example, we have heaven or heavens, but she put all of them, I mean, like plural. I mean, none of them are in singular. And the things that I was telling Pastor Vich for a long time about the name of God that they changed to, instead of Lord, instead of putting Seigneur, they put Eternel. And that thing's been giving me a headache because every Bibles in Haiti have, they call God the wrong name. Eternel, that's not his name. And then she's the only one that got it right. And I said, how come I'm in Haiti? I don't know where this lady is, if it's in France. I mean, she got it right. Just like, just like the way we've been saying all the time. I said to my wife, you know what, we better start praying for the city. And then I've been praying. I don't know if she's old, if she's young. I mean, we've been praying for her health. I mean, said, Lord, preserve her. I mean, she might, you know, continue the work. And, you know, we can fix it. So there's a lot of other doctrine that we've been, you know, fixing and her stuff. And then we put it to be a study Bible. I mean, I put a lot of cross-references and a lot of commentaries. And I like, you should say it, like, each few verses, I mean, I tell what's going on inside of the verse. You saw it. And then it turned out to be a study, French Bible. And when I was talking to Brother Kimball, and he says, I'll ask him. He emailed me. I don't even know his face. I mean, even up to now. And when he emailed me, and then I asked him, do you speak French good? And he says, yes. And I said, can you do a proofreading for me? He said, oh, I would love to. And I said it to him. And then me and my wife were talking. I said, maybe. I said, Kimball told me he talked to Nadine one time. I said, maybe, you never know. God probably could use him to put us together, me and Nadine. But I said, you know, let's pray that the Lord could do that. And I prayed, but, you know, we didn't see through, I mean, how it's going to be done. But we just prayed. But God knew. So I came here, and then when I was in Pastor Mitch's house, and this lady sent an email, and then I don't know how, for some reason, I mean, the French Bible came up, and I was right there at the very moment. And then that was not a coincidence. But still, you know, I said, you know, I'm careful with things like that, because I said, the reason that I sent Brother Greg a hard copy, because I don't want anybody to mess up with this. I could have sent him, you know, email it to him. I said, no, because he can just go in there and change something that I don't want to change. So I sent him a hard copy that he can play with on papers. So when he sent it back, then I'll open the King James and then pray and then see, I mean, the real words, I mean, which one we should put there. So now, when, you know, Pastor Vichy finally get the emails going on and talk to Nadine, and then she agrees. And then I was like, you know, beside myself. Like, I didn't know if I should, you know, jump, if I should sit, if I should, you know, lay down, if I should scream, if I should smile. You know, I mean, you just don't know what to do. Because it's something like, you know, the Lord had done. And it shocked me because I started this thing, you know, lightly. And the Lord was really on it, you know, was really in it. It's something very serious. And now I understand the headaches that we've been having, you know, in Haiti and things that have been happening, you know, because God, the devil would not want that, you know, to come to Haiti and then to get published. So if, you know, the Christians would not pray, and then the devil probably would want to kill us before that happened. But I thank God that it is happening, and now we're finally going to see Sister Nadine, and we've been praying for a long time, and to see what God will do. And I believe it will come out to be beautifully. And, I mean, I'm for it, and she's for it. And I believe that, you know, it will be good. It will be good. Because with all my heart, I told my wife, I said, you know, no French Bible can be better than this. It's impossible. It's not because, you know, I know French better than anybody. But she has done a great work. And I really believe when Pastor V said, do you contact, you know, some other Asian pastors and have them, you know, get their input and have them read? I said, no way. No way. Because I will not get, you know, I will not get them, you know, to distort what we're trying to do here. Because this is well done. And when I sent it to Greg, I mean, he called me on the phone. He stayed on the phone for 1 hour just rejoicing. He says, brother, what a thing, man. What a Bible. I mean, he was rejoicing. You know, thanking God that, you know, for the translation. I believe that it's going to be wonderful. But then the fight will start. You know, then the fight will start. Because Haiti is not an easy country. Anyhow, I just, there's certain things that probably I might be saying in the message. You know, to go there in Haiti, I mean, with something like that, you might have to go and fight a lot of pastors. And that's just the way it is. Like, I remember I was doing study on Mondays for a couple pastors, and they said, "Preacher, you know what we're going to do? We're going to gather all the pastors in the South. I mean, you can just, they can be here and you can have some conference for them or Bible study, whatever." I said, no, guys, don't do that. "What? You don't want that?" I said, "No, I don't. I've been around some. I know how to think." I said, "No, let just relax. Let us finish what we're doing. Let us finish, then you can gather them. You know, but let us finish. Because in the beginning of it will be destroyed. I mean, you'll be reading one chapter or one verse, and each pastor has a different verse. I mean, they're going to get angry, and they're going to... I mean, it's going to be a boxing match. It's not going to be good. The Lord will not be glorified." And I said, "Let us finish. And then we can go to the pastors." Because the ones so far that I've been contacted, they've been fine with it, because I actually went to their churches and I preached for them. And I don't preach, I mean, from their Bible. I preach from the things that I translated. And they love it. But, you know, not all of them. I mean, little few. I mean, you know, 3-4 pastors that we know and preach for them. But the others, it can be hard. So that's why we need a lot of prayer. We really need a lot of prayer now for the things to be done. And I believe it will be done by the grace of the Lord. And I really thank Pastor Vich. He's always on top of things and, you know, trying to do them. And, you know, just like I remember when Brother Bennett, what was his name? The older preacher that came here, that preaching that has the Osterwald Bible, Gwynne Ferret. And I remember I met him here, and he said, "Brother, I have a good French Bible, and we can send you a couple boxes." And I said, "No, send me one, brother. I don't think I need a couple boxes." I said, "Send me one." And he sent me one, and that thing is a trash. And I told you that. It's a trash. I mean, they're just wasting their time, and it's terrible. The version Martin that we've been using is better than this. This is really terrible, and it's not good. So if he had sent me, you know, a couple boxes, I would just put them in the trash. So that's a waste. So pray for us, and as we go into Kentucky, Saturday, Friday, and, you know, everything could be done, I mean, nicely, I mean, the way that we please the Lord. And then, so we would be done, and then just get ready, you know, to just go to the prayer with it, and then be done and go to Haiti, try to do something with it. So, I don't know if anybody has any question, you know, regarding that. No? Okay. So, I'll give you the message that the Lord just gave me. So, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Let's pray for a couple of seconds. Father, thank you so much for your mercies. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for your spirit, your word. Thank you so much for your favors. Thank you so much, Father, for the privilege that we are enjoying in Christianity. Thank you so much for the salvation, your blood. Thank you so much, Father, for everything. And bless us tonight with your presence. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. We start in 30. So, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. I mean, the apostles getting themselves together and they just come in to tell Jesus Christ what they had done and what they had taught. This is a type of the seed of Christ. They actually went, that was the first preaching tool. And then when they came back, they were telling the Lord, I mean, what had happened. And verse 31, and he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." I mean, when I read this, I said, "Damn, I got rejoiced." I mean, God knows the situation. I mean, these guys knew that was the first preaching tool. And when they come back, the Lord says, "You know what? These guys are new and they're trying to get their feet wet on the thing. So just Where's the why? And then I started thinking about, you know, after 8 years being in the mission field, and I come here, I mean, to rest a while with you. To rest a while, and just before the second round starts. Because there is another round. I mean, after, you know, everything will be done here, and then we'll be going back, and that thing will start a second round, just like a boxing match. So, and I believe it will be harder than the first one. You said harder? Yes, I believe it will be harder than the first one. For example, when I just got to Haiti in September 2004, and actually I moved my everything that I have in my house. I just put them in a yellow bus, school bus, and I get the seat out, and I used it as a container. And when I got there, I went there in September to actually got everything out of custom. So when I was there at that time, and there was a pastor called Pastor Molas, and the country, I mean, was mourning. I didn't know the guy because I was up here. And the country was mourning because he had a program at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like teaching, Bible teaching. He called it manna. You know, the manna. That's how he called it. But they shot this guy at 5 o'clock in the morning in front of that radio station when he was going to do that program one morning. And around like 7:30, I was passing in front of his schools, and I saw all the students in uniform, and they were sitting, standing outside, and maybe they just got the news. You know, their pastor and the dean of the school just is in the streets. I mean, dying like a dog. I mean, somebody shot him in the head. And like in October, what? This is November, December. Like 3 months ago, they just shot 3 other pastors. And Brother Prince. And just like I told the people, it's not a joke. I mean, it's a real deal. That's why I said to the Christians, you know what? The second round is not going to be easy. Because then we might have a lot of pastors that will probably hate our gods. And that's why, I mean, we laid on you, I mean, Christians who really pray for us. I mean, if you really, we laid on you because you love us. And you should really pray for us. Because we would love to be able, I mean, it's not that we're afraid, but we would love to be able to do the work. Because going there and to Haiti with something that they didn't have before, the Haitians, I know them, it's not easy for them to take it. But by the grace of God, it can be done. So the second round probably would be very difficult. That's why we say, please, I mean, pray for us. It says, come yourselves apart apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many comings and goings, and they have no leisure so much as to eat. I remember when I come here, this time, the communion we had downstairs, you remember, preacher? And while I was there sitting with you, and the table was in the midst of us. And I felt something left my body. And I told my wife after that, I said, you know what, this is the first time that I had this kind of feeling. This is strange. Because, I mean, in Haiti, we've been having a hard time, I mean, for training. Sometimes I spend a month on crutches. Sometimes, I mean, I have all kind of, you know, body aches and problems. And when I come here, I function normally. I don't have this kind of pain, this kind of aches. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. I remember a sister friend told me one time, she said, Maurice, you know, this country has been protected. When you cross the ocean, I mean, you come here, automatically, I mean, some sickness probably would leave your body. She said that to me one time. And I said, yeah, she was what, 72? I said, 72-year-old woman, she knows some things. I mean, what she said was truth. And I believe what she said when she said it. Not when it happened to me, but when she said it, I believe it, a few years ago. And I felt something left my body, and I've been functioning, you know, well without pain. People don't get it, the depthness of the devil. Like, there's a pastor in Haiti. They bladdered him because, I mean, the other pastors wanted him to leave. He wouldn't leave. I mean, they sent letters to his church in America. I mean, they just don't pay attention to the letters because they trust the man. And they actually blooded him. And he actually took an airplane, you know, to come back to America. And his vision came back on the airplane. People don't know the depthness of he. It's not something you should take lightly because it is deep. I mean, if they cannot kill you, you better watch. People say, how are you going to protect yourself? Yeah. By prayer. When I was up here, I used to fast and pray and serve the Lord. When I go to Haiti, I got so sick, especially I got a stomach problem. I cannot fast. But when I come here, I tell you, my wife said, wow, that's amazing. You've been able to do it every week. I've been doing it every week. Because I feel better. I feel fine. And I can, you know, just not only pray, but get my fasting done. Because it would take now, in this very generation that you're living now, it is going to take more to do less. Because people are really hard. I mean, things get hardened. It's going to take more to do less. Let's go there to verse 32. It says, and they departed into a desert place by sheep privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You see, there's something I wanted you to see that. The Bible says, and he began to teach them many things, but he didn't finish. He just, moved with compassion toward the people because they were like, you know, a lost sheep. So they had no shepherd, nobody that really cared for the souls. So Jesus Christ, started to help them. And he started teaching them. And verse 35, it says, and when the day was now far spent, and his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. I mean, there's something fishy about this. Jesus Christ loved the people, and, you know, like, he came for sinners. When he started to help them, and now you have the disciples that just came in, they just stopped the preaching. They came in, they stopped the preaching. And now they're showing that they care more, for the people, for the belly. They stopped the preaching, and they said, you know what? Let's just send them away because they might find something to find food to eat. I mean, this is a desert place. They were not going to find any kind of food. But while Jesus Christ is feeding them spiritually, and they just get in there and they just stop the preaching altogether. And they have done that because you will see that because their heart were hardened, and the Lord will actually teach them something because of what they just did. They stopped the preaching in verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, and his disciples came unto him and said, this is the desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away while he's doing his preaching. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and go into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. So now, Jesus Christ understands them very well. He says, you know what? If you really so care for the people, why don't you give them something to eat? You're really sensitive, for the belly, for the welfare. So why don't you give them something? So they don't have anything. Now they said, you know what? Look at that. It says, and they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? You see, they finished that thing with a question mark. Question him. What do you mean by saying that? Shall we go and do this? So you really care for the people? You feed them. Because he was feeding them, they stopped him. So now, if you really care for them, just feed them. You remember Judas Iscariot that actually put price on the ointment? I mean, this thing probably should be sold for good money and then really feed the poor. I mean, this is so sad. I mean, the devil is more sensitive. I mean, have more compassion, than the Lord. That's so sad. It says in 38, and he said unto them, how much loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by 100 and by 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all it and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I mean, that's a lot. And then Jesus Christ showed them, I mean, you couldn't go and buy, 200, but we have 5,000 men that ate, plus the women and the children, and we have 12 baskets left. So now, look at this, verse 45. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. So now, constrain means, and when you constrain somebody, what do? You force them. So he says, you know what? He constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Now, he sent the disciples away first because they are the problem. And he actually forced them to go. So now, when we're going to read the rest of the story, you will see that they never make it to Bethsaida. So that was the personal training for having a hard heart. Jesus Christ wanted to teach them something. He wanted to teach them something. It says, verse 46, that's right. It says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was now come, now we have a problem. When the even was now come, he's talking about the evening of the Jew, what time did that thing start? What, 6 p.m.? The evening of the Jews, 6 p.m. And when you go back, to verse 35, that means it was not that late. It was not that late. The guy had a hard heart. They actually cut the preaching. And when Jesus Christ sent them to the way to Bethsaida, that they could actually learn something. What had happened to them? In verse 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and woeing. Toiling is something that to do with sweat and pain and labor. And woeing is just like going in a circle. Just like you would never make it to Bethsaida. So you're just going in a circle. Just like the people, the Jew in the desert, they're just going, going around and then rebelling against God until God killed all the men in the desert. They just never made it. So now, because they had a hard heart, they don't send them to the way of Bethsaida that they could learn something. So while he went and prayed, so now, the Bible says the wind was contrary unto them. It was not for any reason that the wind was contrary unto them. So, it was not for any reason, because they needed to learn something. You said, why did the Lord send them to Bethsaida? They never made it to Bethsaida. They never got there. If you read the rest of the chapter, they never got there. They actually, finally, when the things got right, they made it to Gennesaret. I have a map here in the back of the Bible. I was looking to see, if Bethsaida and Gennesaret is the exact same place. No, it's not the same place. It's just a long way off. You said, why God sent them to Bethsaida? They just never made it. Why? Because there are certain problems. You remember the lady, the Samaritan woman? The Lord was talking to her, and when the Lord was finished, his conversation with her, that's when the guys came. And they were questioning, he was talking to a woman. Sometimes it is a funny thing. Christians sometimes can be a hindrance. These guys are preachers. I mean, preachers. I mean, they just, when I was in preaching, they came back and really excited and telling the Lord, I mean, you know, this is what it was done. I mean, good things happen. But now, when they're on his preaching, maybe he's stretching it a little bit. That thing is getting a little bit longer. So they just interrupted it. They cut it. So now the Lord was going to teach them something for what they had done. So send them on the way to Bethsaida. He said, man, that's the wrong way because they never made it. God was not interested in Bethsaida. He forced them to go because they needed to learn a lesson. And God sat on the land and watching them toiling, you know, toiling and worrying. They go nowhere. They're just going this way, and the wind just pushed them back, and they're just going around, trying to come back. The wind just pushed them back. They're just going around, trying to keep going. The wind just pushed them. They would never make it. They just would never make it. It's just amazing. Toiling and worrying. That thing, I mean, they're just sweating and trying to go forward. I mean, really, I mean, give their strength to the thing. It will not be done. Because some lesson they needed to learn first. I mean, that happened in our lives, Christians. Sometimes, I mean, there's certain things that we need. I mean, we will not get unless we really obey and learn the lessons that God wants us to learn. So, it says, And when he saw them toiling and worrying, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. I mean, God saw them when they were in the middle of the sea. So now the Bible says he would have just passed by them, just like, hey, was passed by the boat. Just like what he didn't know them. That's the lesson that they needed to learn. We said, what happened? The Lord wanted, I mean, these guys got so shocked. The Bible says, I mean, out of measure. They got so shocked for the lessons because their heart was hard. They needed to learn that. I mean, the people, they didn't have a shepherd. The Lord was showing them compassion. Now, the preachers tried their best to stop it. So now the Lord says, you know what, these guys, they really need to learn something. That proved to me, when I read the verse 37, the 47, and I saw the verse 35, it was not that late. It was not that late. They said, we're in a desert. It was not that late. So what happened? Listen, which one would we prefer? I mean, being in the desert with Jesus Christ or toiling and worrying with a bunch of hard Christians? Which one would we prefer? These guys, they are chosen. You know, I mean, not just they are chosen. The Lord forced them to go, that they may learn the lesson. Because the Lord was trying to show compassion on a bunch of folks. You know what? What you guys had done, like, you know, go to the basement, people's basement to clean and everything, some other group of Christians would actually see that with one eye. They might not enjoy it. Saying like, you know what, I mean, hey, I mean, bunch of Christians, I mean, we have to leave, you know, our family, our homes, I mean, to go help the un-Christians. But you know what? God could use that to save some folks. God could use that to make this church a beacon and start knowledge. Yeah. So it says, toiling and worrying. So, you would have passed by them. He would have passed by them, verse 48, verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. So now, this guy got really afraid because they didn't know it was the Lord. And the Lord did that purposely. You know, I mean, when the guys were at their wit ends, I mean, they would actually scream out. Because the Lord wanted to teach them a lesson. It says, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So now, you said the lesson was over? Verse 51. And he went up unto them and to the ship. And the wind ceased. You see that thing? That thing was calm down. They were incensed. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. So now, God wanted them to meditate, to think. Not just so afraid, I mean, beyond measure. It was not just naturally. I mean, somebody could have had a heart problem and then just his heart could have probably just stopped right there. They needed to understand, I mean, to appreciate what the Lord was trying to do. They needed to learn that. I mean, for example, you've read about the sons of thunders in the Bible. These guys were hard. When, you know, they wouldn't accept the Lord when he was setting his face, fled to go to Jerusalem, and then they wouldn't accept them. The guy says, you know, Lord, let's just call fire and to just burn these people that would not accept us. The Lord says, you don't know what spirit you are of. I mean, the Christians should have more compassion. So he says, you know what? Be of good cheer, be not afraid. And he says, they were so amazed beyond themselves and wondered. You say, verse 52, that's the reason. This is the reason for the lesson, verse 52. Look at that. Verse 52 said, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, why they considered not the miracle of the loaves? Because they had a problem before and they had stopped his message. The Bible says, he began to teach them many things in verse 24 and never finished. The guys came, I mean, you know what? I mean, we care for the people. I mean, there's a place. I mean, the people are hungry. Let's just send them away, that, this and that. But while the Lord is helping them. And the funny thing, they could stay with the Lord, I mean, for a week if, you know, in the message. They would not even, you know, feel any hunger. Until probably the message would end. And then probably now they would probably realize that they would need food. Guys, have you ever been? I mean, if you're really praying, you're reading your Bible, you might never feel you're hungry. My wife never been, never done fasting before. And sometimes when she can, she do it with me. When she cannot, I said, honey, when you cannot, just don't worry about it. Just eat your food. So I'll continue. But sometimes, I mean, after 24 hours, we felt like we thought we were going to be hungry. And then we say, hey, we could go for another one. It's just amazing. I mean, when you concentrate on the Word of God, meditate upon the Lord, I mean, I tell you, you can do it. You will be able to do it. But these guys tried to interrupt it. I mean, what the Lord was trying to do. And then try to bring, trouble. Because when they actually made it to Gennesaret, I will show you, like, the Lord healed a lot of folks. But the thing is, these preachers or disciples or apostles, or you call them, they needed, you know, to sink in with the Lord. I mean, for the things that was going to be done in Gennesaret. They needed to go to Bethsaida first and to learn the lesson before they could go to Gennesaret with the Lord. I mean, verse 53, it says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Verse 55, and went through the whole region round about, and he began to carry about and bed those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick into the streets and besought him that they might touch him if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. The way to Bethsaida was a personal training to get them and sink with the Lord and to appreciate the work. And not trying to stop it, but rather trying to help the furtherance of it. Trying to help the work to get to go further, not to stop it. I remember being here in Brooklyn, New York, and with Pastor Bob Militello. When I first got to the church, and that's the first time, you know, I've heard about King James and trying to learn, and we love the Lord and we have zeal. And the pastor had a son that was trying to restore the church. And that thing really hurt us. Finally, this guy actually, you know, destroy his own family. Now his mother is sending a divorce to his father. I mean, right now as we're talking. And he was the one that caused everything. I mean, robbing bank and using drugs and all over the place and destroy his own mother. And I remember I wanted to just punch this guy to his face. I really wanted to do it. But I never did it, though. But I really wanted to do it. Because, I mean, we love the church. We love the pastor. And I see his own son is destroying the whole thing. And one day, actually, I really wanted to do that. I called him. And I said, brother, can we talk? And I said, why are you destroying this church? And he says, but I don't know what happened to me, but I think I have a devil. And he was trying to be honest. And I said, you have a devil? I mean, your father is a pastor. I mean, don't you talk to him about, you know, the way you feel? I mean, he probably could be able to help you. He says, brother, I mean, I don't know. He robbed many banks. So he's been in jail from left to right. I mean, his mother got so upset because she saw that she was serving the Lord and his own son is just, you know, worse than somebody that never got saved. And you know what? He actually finally destroyed his father's ministry. And he actually destroyed, I mean, his mother and father. Now, as we're talking, Pastor Bob asked me to pray for him because his wife sent him a divorce paper. And now he's working with Dr. Wackman over there, but no more church. So he thought, he was going to be, after that, he was probably going to be an evangelist, trying to help many pastors. He never made it. I mean, it's so sad. I mean, what can happen? I mean, Christians in the church. When I came to the church, this guy was singing in that church. The young man that actually destroyed, I mean, his father's ministry and his father and mother's marriage. I mean, sometimes people don't get it. There are certain things that we need always. It's not like, you know, I'm just glowing in the last month, you know. Glory, I was like humble last month and last year. I mean, we have to continue to do that constantly as long as we live. Because things can happen. I mean, it would be easy for us, I mean, to get in the flesh and something to be done. But thank God, I mean, some people learn the lesson. They don't go that far and then they just, you know, repent and turn back and things got right. I mean, thank God, I mean, these guys actually learned the lesson and then things got right. So they could continue with the Lord, and the Lord could just, even after he left, I mean, these guys continue, and then great things were done. I mean, thank God for repentance. Because, it's amazing. Some people, the way, I mean, they live in Christianity, I mean, it's good. I always say that, like, this church has a maturity that I've never seen. I mean, I thank God for that. I really thank God for that. I've been to many churches, I mean, as a missionary. I mean, it's so sad. I mean, things that you see. I mean, pastors have been really stressed out. I went to North Carolina to preach in a church, and I left Pastor Mike Zulu with a wonderful church. I mean, good church, beautiful. Man, like 2 weeks ago I've been there. I mean, these guys couldn't stop crying. The church got destroyed. I mean, there was maybe, 15 people that left. I mean, older folks. And this church had more than 100 people. It's just amazing. I mean, I felt like crying. I mean, I felt the pain. Now, and then his wife, I mean, he's dying with a couple cancers in her body. While everything else is going. Things are hard. But thank God that we're serving a God that knows our pain and our trouble sometimes. I mean, at a distance, he could, you know, from the first watch, he actually looking at these guys. For example, it says right here, I just passed the page. Chapter 6. Mark. It says, and when the evening was come, like verse 47, we have the four watch. Like, the first watch is for 6 to 9 p.m. And the second 9 p.m. to 12, like midnight. The third watch would be 12 to 3 o'clock in the morning. The fourth watch would be 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 in the morning. And it says, and about the fourth watch, that's when Jesus Christ came. I mean, he's been looking at some Christians that are toiling and wallowing. I mean, sweating around. I mean, trying to understand the thing, trying to do good. But you know what? They just need to just repent and forget about, you know, the whole past, and then let's just go and do the thing. Toiling. I mean, they're sweating. And they're trying so hard. And some of them don't even have peace while they're sweating to get it. Because it takes repentance, and it takes a real one. I mean, to be able to get it. It says, the disciples needed to be together for the greater work that was going to be done, and that was going to be done and get some money. The disciples needed to be together for the greater work that was going to be done and get some money. I mean, the way to Bethsaida, just like we said, was a personal training. And I thank God, I was the first church that we had in Haiti was in a place called La Gaudrée. And sometimes I hated the fact that I went there because too many things happened, you know, that maybe I said, you know, I shouldn't go there, you know, they should have happened. They should not have happened. But you know what? I needed that. And I said, you see 600 people just standing in front of your church and cursing the pastor right in the streets. And if you said that thing was going to happen to me, I would say, you're lying. It will never happen. And it did. 600 people, I mean, in a Rara band, just standing right there in front of the church and cursing me. I mean, they're singing my name and the song. I mean, I got upset. But the people in the church got really upset. They just stood up and wanted probably to go and fight. I said, no, guys, sit. Just let them do it. Let them do it. It's fine. Let them do it. So you never know. Next year, by this time, the Lord might be dealing with them. They may probably, you know, they probably get saved. So, so many things that had happened. It's just crazy. I have a yellow bus. An elderly came to me and says, Pastor, the government bus stopped. I mean, helping the children. Now, I see you have a bus. Could you help us? And I said, how? She said, yeah, just like we used to pay the government bus, we'll pay you. It's no problem. I mean, just help the kids. And I said, that's good. Then I'll do it. And trying to help the kids. Actually, I had two guys working on the bus. I had to pay them. And, you know, nobody paid me because I did it for free. I was the driver. And, you know, every, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, I got to get up and go and get the kids. They refused to pay. So now, I was so broke. And I couldn't finish that thing because I told them it's a contract for 3 months. Not more than 3 months. Because I wanted to see how things were going. I mean, if we could, you know, find the money to put to for the gas. So, they wouldn't pay. So now, finally, I did the money. I didn't have the money to continue. I called Pastor Rami and I said, you know what? I just put myself in a gym. So I need some money to be able to finish these 3 months. I will stop after the 3 months, but I need to finish the 3 months because I told them the contract is for 3 months. And, you know, the pastor didn't say anything. I mean, it didn't help. So now I got myself into a mess. And they wouldn't pay, and now you cannot stop. When you stop, the whole town, you know, is on your back. I mean, what did he do? I mean, you know, he's a liar. You know, he's just terrible. They would do it. So now, thank God a pastor from St. Croix, Virgin Islands, St. Croix, called me. He says, brother, you want to come and preach for me? I said, yes, sir. And he sent me the airplane tickets. I mean, you got to go from Haiti to Dominican Republic, from Dominican Republic to Puerto Rico, and from Puerto Rico to St. Croix. And finally, I got there. And I came back with $1,000. Then I was able to finish my 3 months. And, you know, they would have seen me, the preacher, as a liar. Even that thing, I stopped. My 3 months stopped like one week short before the school closed. Even 1 week lacking, many parents got on my back. Oh, I know you would do that. I know, I mean, this is terrible. And I said, guys, check the date that we start, and check the date that we stop. Isn't it 3 months? We said 3 months. And we gave it to you for 3 months. No, the school is not closed yet. You have to keep going until the school is closed. What so many people don't understand, they could actually come and burn the bus. A parent tried that. I had to go to the court of law with him. And the judge says, the judge took him and his son, and they are going to put them to jail. And I said to the judge, you can let them go. I just wanted them to stop. So now they learned the lesson. I mean, they could go to jail. They say it because the judge just ordered them to go to jail. I said, you can give them the chance. Because they come with machete trying to, you know, to threaten us. I mean, trying to see if they could burn the bus. And they would do it. And we kept our word. We do exactly what we said we would do. I didn't have the money to do it, but God helped me to do it. And I did it. But 1 week lacking before the school was closed, they were ready to just destroy the bus. After the earthquake, there's a pastor in Port-au-Prince. His heart got broke. He had a lot of land. He let the people use his land. But very temporarily, because the government should take charge of that. They've been staying there in his land for 2 years. When he asked them the land, all of them took a machete. They want to behead the pastor. They want to cut his head off. They said they're waiting for him to show up here. They might teach him something with machetes. And I said to my wife, you see, that's a lesson. We need to learn this. We need to learn that. We need to really learn that. Yeah, because and the compassion, you might get yourself into a mess. So you have to know how to deal with the people in certain situations. You know, because what happened, the devil would use anything to stop what you come to do. I didn't come to be a bus driver. I didn't come to help these kids. I mean, you know, and then to give me a bad name in the area. I come to preach the gospel. Only the gospel. But if you get involved in so many things, you can get into trouble and you would not be able to finish the work that you come to do. So you got to be wise enough in everything that you're doing. I mean, the people, it's just terrible. This guy that came and trying to pull machete, you know, on me, while we're taking, on the morning while we're trying to step out in the streets, and these guys came with a machete and came with other guys, I mean, his sons, trying to do something to me and to the bus, and we took him to the court of law. This thing had so many people very angry at us. Why? Because they believe like a Christian should never go to the court of law. The mindset of the people are crazy. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. I mean, any little action in Haiti can be very loud. Any little thing. You see, that's why it is wise. I mean, just like when the Christians are going to the Philippines, I mean, to Haiti, things like that. We always tell them, you know, there's a certain way, I mean, to dress. And now I'm serious. I mean, and here, we have no problem. I mean, in church in Delaware, here, I mean, women put like pants and everything. In Haiti, that thing will speak loud. And it would be a problem. Because these people, they need to get out of it, but somebody needs to get there and to teach them. I remember the young women asked me questions about earrings. They asked me questions about women wearing pants and everything. And I told them flat out. I said, listen, the earrings you have, if you feel like you can never live with it, you know, the earring becomes your God, just don't wear it. So if it's fine for you, I mean, to be without it, I mean, for a day or two. So now that's no problem. You can wear it. It's not a God for you. I mean, it's no problem whatsoever. I said, my wife has earrings. I mean, that doesn't mean that she's not a Christian. But the work has done, I mean, so badly in Haiti. So the people really need to learn. So that's why I thank God that we finally have a King James Bible for them. That they might be able to learn differently. Because it's not the hearing. An elderly, 85 years old, I prayed with her there was a his son-in-law is a pastor from a church of God. So now, we both, now, because he was right there when I was witnessing to his mother-in-law. He lives in the house. He never witnessed to her. But finally, she said, yes. She wanted the Lord. She wanted to get saved. And he knelt with me. After he knelt with me and we prayed, and when we got up, he said to the elderly, now, if you're really saved, take your earrings off. Brother, my tongue almost, you know, I just put my hands there, on my mouth, and I just went out. He said, why? Because I almost say something that I, you know, I almost destroy the whole thing. Because the hearing has nothing to do with her salvation. She's an 85-year-old lady. Somebody got to shower her and feed her. She cannot even move by herself. Now she got saved. The pastor said, if you really save, you got to take this thing out. That's just the way they believe. It's terrible. But, hey, somebody needs to help them out. Somebody needs to help them out. But I thank God, the way these guys finally learned, because the way to be saved was they never made it. But it was the way of tolling that they could probably learn something. And then the Lord could take them to get some money for something to be done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for